The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Yes, Dublin aren't in great form, but they're bored out in their mind. Paul Mannion and Jack McCaffrey aren't playing, yes, because of the stress and the strain, but they're a bit bored.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Time to turn our attention to the biggest story in sport right now, which is, of course, the future of Lionel Messi. Delighted to welcome Graeme Hunter back to the show. Graeme, good morning.
Oh, how are you?
So, you were on with the lads last night, basically debunking this idea that he's definitely gone and that this is basically a standoff and a power play from Barcelona towards La Liga. So, who is going to blink first in this, Barcelona or La Liga?
Yeah, I mean, the point I was trying to make last night was that this is Laporta's Hail Mary pass. He's out of time, he's out of resources. And the idea, the key thing to hold on to here now is that, as I said last night, it may result in Messi going to another club. It may well do. Because a Hail Mary pass, by definition, a power play of any description, when it goes wrong, poker fans like all in. When it goes wrong, you're left with nothing. So, who's going to blink first, you said? The first indication about blinking will come in about an hour when Joan Laporta, the Barcelona president, who inherited a club where they were spending 110% of turnover on wages. Now, never mind football club Barcelona, never mind Messi. No company in the world can exist like that. It's one of the things, it's one of the ugly warts on the beautiful body of football that people point to and say, why does football get to exist like this when any commercial business that was run like that would go out of business? The creditors would be chasing them. So long and short is, if La Liga were to blink and say, okay, we will reduce our financial fair play rules specifically for Messi, because La Liga needs him almost as much as Barcelona need him. It's a terrible can of worms to open. It's not impossible to see. I've had a little bit of a nudge from La Liga that they're not interested in making special cases because they believe that the financial fair play of La Liga is protecting other clubs that can't live with the amount of debt that Barcelona have, 1.4 billion of debt. And therefore, I see what's, you know, Laporta felt, and this is what I was trying to communicate to Nathan last night, Laporta felt that he was in a corner, but he had two options that were almost no lose. One, you make this explosive declaration that Leo Messi and his father, Jorge, weren't expecting. And let's be clear, this is what I wanted to make clear last night. Barcelona and Leo Messi had reached an agreement. They'd negotiated an agreement, which Barcelona had been trying to register with La Liga, trying to find a way to register with La Liga. And this agreement was total, how much he would be paid, and it would be much more than a 50% cut in wages and bonuses for Messi, that he would stay till 2026, okay, with a break clause either way at 2023. So Barcelona, Messi, and in fact La Liga were about to be delighted. The key situation was that La Liga wasn't going to lose its crown jewel that brings audiovisual rights, that brings sponsors, that brings attention. Barcelona weren't going to lose their key player, and Messi wants to stay. That's something that, again, I thought was crucial to mention. But La Liga, whether they blink and say, we'll make a special case for you, I was pointing out last night that Ángel Torres, the president of Getafe, who suffered at the hands of Messi, was saying last week, we should make a special case. There should be maneuverability over this. Whether that's going to happen or not, if I was forced to predict, I think maybe La Liga won't budge. But when I said Laporta believed this all-in move was no lose, by doing this, he has firmly put the blame on two parties. I don't think he's right to blame financial fair play at La Liga because Barcelona as a club were, the backside was sticking so far out the window you could have parked a bike in it. It's sure. Just they were in the wrong completely. And secondly, Laporta is able to not only say, well, it's because of La Liga that we can't register this deal to keep fans, to keep Messi, the guy you wanted, I wanted. So La Liga, they're going to blame. They're going to blame Bartomeu, the ex-president of Barcelona, who left Laporta inheriting a club at 110%, you know, salaries were bigger than turnover. So Laporta can come out of this well in almost any way. But the original idea of this Hail Mary is to see whether La Liga will blink and say, okay, it's Messi. We'll make an exception. My guess is that might not happen.
Right. Graeme, would La Liga have been more likely to blink in this situation were it not for the European Super League fiasco?
There is an absolute and complete bitter divide between Barcelona and Real Madrid, united for once. The classical enemies are united in this one. against the way in which Javier Tebas, whose position I unequivocally support, what Javier Tebas, and there were many people in your country and in the Premier League who spoke out the same. I think that Tebas, on behalf of La Liga, is right to bitterly oppose and criticise the Superliga as devised by Florentino Perez and his rat pack of chums. But the debate, Barcelona and Real Madrid, as your listeners will know, tuning into Off the Ball AM every morning, there are only three clubs who are fighting to keep the Super League alive. Two of them are in Spain, the Clásico enemies, and Juventus. And right now, for example, it is vital for people to understand that earlier in the week, La Liga announced an in-principle deal with CVC Partners, who took a bad reputation out of their management of Formula One. Let's be blunt about that. CVC Partners were... The headline figure was 2.7 billion euros coming into La Liga, which would be dispersed across everything from the grassroots to women's football to the smaller clubs, and 250 million each straight to Barcelona and Real Madrid. Now, Real Madrid and Barcelona have attacked that over the last 24 hours. They put out communiques which really use the most powerful possible language to say, we weren't consulted, we don't want this, this isn't legal, we don't support it. But you're right, going back to your point, they didn't want Javier Tebas at the head of La Liga, a guy who's done an awful lot of good for La Liga, his position to be more powerful, his argument to the other clubs in Spain that they must try and corral Real Madrid and Barcelona into a position where they cannot continue to support the Superliga. So Messi is partly a victim of the mini war. And in football terms, it is a war that's going on between the two biggest clubs in Spain and La Liga over the Super League. So you're right to introduce that element. And there are those who are, now that I've mentioned it, there are those who are saying that Tebas has sold too much of the audiovisual rights to CVC Partners, even for 2.7 billion euros. That influx of cash is coming at a time when many of the clubs are gasping for air. You could say the same about any of the leagues you cover, probably any of the sports, but not many sports are live in such debt all the time, permanently, as elite football does. So it's a complicated story worthy of Mario Puzo.
Well, yeah, absolutely. What about the... So if we get into the self-preservation element of Tebas's position here and the different factors at play, do you think he will be looking at what Manchester City and Paris Saint-Germain can offer Lionel Messi without restrictive domestic financial fair play laws, and allied to that, very non-restrictive continental FFP laws, as we now know, as a result of COVID, they've been relaxed to a point. Is he not looking at them saying, oh my God, the product in the Premier League is going to get so much stronger, maybe even in Ligue 1, and that too damages our league?
You asked me to guess, to estimate who'd blink first. My estimate is, and based on a couple of texts I had last night that come from La Liga, which didn't say no, but said this could be the end. If we move on this, this could be the end of FFP in Spain. But you make a good point. And this is the two principal people, I think, are in the horns of a dilemma right now. One is Leo Messi. And most football fans will probably be more interested in that. Because, again, you know, these are human beings we're talking about. We don't need to only talk about it in terms of back pages and money. Football is about human beings. That's why we're so addicted to it. Not because of the stats of the money, but because it's the biggest human drama that can compare to theatre or opera, ballet, art. It doesn't matter. Leo Messi came to Barcelona yesterday thinking he was signing a deal to keep himself in the city that he loves and play for the club that he loves. So this morning, although he's got resources, he can negotiate with other clubs, that option's been taken away from him as we speak. So he's in the horns of a dilemma. But as you pointed out, so is Tebas, because what do you do? Do you roll with the situation and say, you know, we will give a window of opportunity for Barcelona? Is the time for to go and consult all his constituent members, all the clubs? What will they say? What would Real Madrid say? Real Madrid would say no. So Tebas does have the dilemma you point out, that if he, I don't think he's living in fear of Ligue 1 being better marketed or a bigger product than La Liga. The Premier League is the thing that he's set himself at. So what has he been in charge of La Liga now? Maybe 6 going on 7 years. During that time, there has been a change in the financial situation in Spain. There's been more competitiveness from other clubs. He has divided the cake more evenly. And he's trying to copy the Premier in terms of marketing. La Liga Television just signed Gary Lineker. There were in the first 5 hours of that announcement, there were over 2 million hits on Twitter alone on that announcement. The idea is exactly what you're talking about, to try to compete with the professionalism, the modernization, the branding, the unity of the Premier League in terms of their negotiating. They want to fight the Premier League in terms of, are we biggest in China? Are we biggest in Africa? Are we biggest in the Middle East? Are we biggest in the States? Okay, so that's guaranteed. Mm. And Messi is taking a brick away from that wall that he's building. You're right. But once it changes, you know he's going to be harangued by the media, by fans, by other clubs. I don't know how he'll resolve that dilemma, but you asked what's on his mind, and Leo Messi going to the Premier League or Paris Saint-Germain will annoy him. And Paris Saint-Germain and Manchester City are the two clubs that Tebas most attacks, saying they're state-funded, which both clubs deny, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's a horrible situation for Tebas. We're in the middle of a high-stakes poker game, and it is not simply about the future of Leo Messi. It's about egos. It's about presidents who don't like each other, Florentino Perez and Javier Tebas, and Laporta trying to be the witty, clever one in between getting, you know, pinching food off everybody's table.
And yet, Graham, Messi is the pawn who's caught in the middle of all this. And does this announcement last night trigger a flurry of activity in the background on behalf of his team? Or is that activity that has all already been going on for months now? Or are they really looking at their options now? And whether that's MLS, PSG, Man City, maybe heading back to Argentina, whatever that might be. But are they suddenly now on high alert, engaging a full core press in terms of getting all possible options further down the line on the table for Messi?
Dave, you know the answer to that. You know, of course they are. He has pledged that he wants to be playing high-level football. Having won the Copa America, his attention now turns to trying to win the World Cup in Qatar. I don't think that Argentina showed enough in what was a pretty brutal Copa America. And if you looked at the final in which, you know, they went back to Catenaccio of the 70s and they kicked Brazil off the park, it was a rare win. It was an unusual win. But there is no doubt that amongst the Argentinian fans, the FA, but most particularly Scaloni and his players, the idea is now, okay, transfer that to going one step further than they've managed in the Messi era in the World Cup. Messi wants to be playing elite-level football. I can't imagine how Phil Neville's about to become Leo Messi's coach at Inter Miami. Easy, lads. Inter Miami is somewhere that I do see Messi eventually going. I reported on La Liga television a couple of years ago that the finances were being built to try and tempt Suarez and Messi together to Inter Miami. But playing there in the build-up to World Cup? No, it doesn't make sense. Where he plays, I'm not embarrassed about going back to re-emphasise my point. This might be a myth, a legend, the greatest or second greatest player ever, but he's a human being. He's got kids, he's got a wife. He wanted to stay at this club. It's been thrown at him out of the blue. The clubs that you said no to, it's not a begging bowl that he's going back with, but he has to go back and knock on doors. Fellas, now, how did you introduce your question? You talked about Leo Messi as the pawn. Did you ever really think you'd be using that phrase about Leo Messi?
No, it's incredible.
Who's the most coveted, most beautiful, most extraordinary football of our working, our journalistic lifetimes? Then also, how weird is it that he's knocking on the door at Paris Saint-Germain and Manchester City? This is a bit embarrassing, but when I said no, you know, a month ago, what I really, you know, it's a ridiculous situation. And football's a pragmatic game. They're a pragmatic family, and yes, they're on, you know, red alert now. You know, full court press, as you said, but they will not have given up on the idea that La Liga potentially move a little bit, or if there's suddenly, which I don't imagine, an extraordinary move that takes Griezmann away, lowers the salary bill because Griezmann suddenly moves with whatever, they play a week on Sunday, it's Barça Real Sociedad to open La Liga at the Camp Nou a week on Sunday. I don't see, and listen, neither of you mentioned this, but for people who are listening to Off the Ball AM to understand it fully, I guess a lot of people believe that Kun Aguero is a Barca player, that Eric Garcia is a Barca player, that Memphis Depay is a Barca player, and Emerson, who moved from it. None of them are registered yet because the Liga won't allow Barcelona to register these new signings because they're so far away from meeting the financial fair play regulations. Now, in practical terms, Laporta's got to think, well, a week on Sunday, we play our first match. We have to have these new players registered. So there is an enormous dilemma, and every player in this high-stakes poker game is carrying two or three different hands and going, well, which one is the most powerful? Which one do I play? Which opponent do I want to knock out first? It's high octane. It's complicated. And there will be damage, collateral damage done nearly everywhere. I say to you again, and I think this will come out this morning when Laporta has his press conference, I think Laporta believes that he's played the hand that leaves him in terms of how he markets his work in a no-lose situation. Because he's now, if Messi goes, he's going to blame Bartomeu, the previous president, he's going to blame La Liga, but he's going to be able to get on with registering these players and saying, okay, I can be the president who lost Messi, but it'll be held as being something that's completely out with my blame, out with my fault. Now, that's a very pleasant position for Laporta to be in suddenly.
Well, one of the other things here, Graham, and this is purely, I'll put my hands up here, this is from like trying to read all this stuff on this subject that I completely ignored because of the Euros and because of the Olympics last night. One of the things that maybe is going under the radar here is that Real Madrid are also screwed. They're just not as screwed as Barcelona, but when you compare their previous available salary cap compared to their current available salary cap, that has also nosedived in a Barcelona-esque manner. Obviously, they don't have the best footballer in the world, so it's less headline-grabbing, and maybe they have been smarter with their finances than Barcelona over the last couple of years. But there's problems coming for them. Am I right in that?
No, I agree with your snapshot analysis of them is right. Their salary level has to come down because their revenue has come down. This is healthy. These things that we're not marketing as problems for Real Madrid and Barcelona, are under. It's like when you say, doctor, I really don't like this chemo. Well, do you like living? You know, it's deeply unpleasant, but FFP is for the benefit of the individual clubs and La Liga as a whole. But there is a difference in how you termed it, because you said they were equally screwed. They've suddenly, okay, against their will, lost the salaries, the outgoing salaries of Ramos and Varane. Mm. That changes their picture dramatically.
Sure.
And there is clearly a scenario where, because Florentino Perez is hope against hope that he can take Mbappe this season. I think the chances are still very, very low. But let's say Paris Saint-Germain, where the relationship between Mbappe and Leonardo, the sports director, is terrible. Mbappe's 1 year for going out of contract. I think the logical position is that he sees that contract out and leaves for free, like Alaba just did from Bayern Munich, and goes to Real Madrid. But let's say Messi goes to Paris Saint-Germain. I'm not saying that I know it's going to happen, but it is one of the clubs that wanted him, whereby you can see the fit in terms of their wish to win the Champions League, their wish for profile. Pochettino's an Argentinian coach that knows Messi very well indeed. Neymar would be an attractive playing partner for Messi. Excuse me, you can write your own rationale there. Let's say Messi does go there, hypothetically. Does that mean that Paris Saint-Germain suddenly will say, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pay his wages by taking money now for Mbappe rather than losing him for free because we stubbornly weren't even contemplating that before. And Mbappe pitches up at Madrid and we have a summer whereby out of the blue, not at the 11th hour, but the 9th and a half hour, Messi goes and Mbappe comes in. And into all of this, the CVC partnership, who are buying a 10% stake in La Liga offshoot for 2.7 billion euros, that was announced this week, but remember, it was announced as a deal in principle. So that money isn't safe yet for La Liga or for Javier Tebas. It's vital money. But CVC, as of yesterday, you know, it's still business hours. New York is behind us in Spain in terms of the clock. So in business hours, CVC were phoning Tebas and saying, okay, see that money? See that agreement? What do you mean no Messi? Messi's not even going to be there for the beginning of it. It's a long-term thing. So that phone is going to be ringing saying, well, I tell you what, if the deal's still on, we're restructuring it. Different money, lower money. This is, you know, this is a hornet's nest. But that hornet's nest might produce honey, which is not normal. The honey being Mbappe to Madrid. And suddenly, Florentino Perez, you said they were equally screwed. He said, yeah. Who knows?
There are varying different degrees of being screwed, I guess. If you're screwed with Kylian Mbappe, you're not doing too badly, especially if your main rival doesn't have Lionel Messi. Graham, great stuff as ever. We know a hell of a lot more, I guess, in an hour's time when Laporta has done his press conference. We'll chat
Watch
to you again soon.
Space.
No doubt.
You're right, Owen.
Cheers, man.
Cheers, man.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Yes, Dublin aren't in great form, but they're bored out in their mind. Paul Mannion and Jack McCaffrey aren't playing, yes, because of the stress and the strain, but they're a bit bored.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.